podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jay here, Full-Time Devils. This is the Full-Time Devils podcast, and it's a seminal one. It's episode number 50. So, in light of that occasion, we've got the heavy hitters in. We've got Karthik and also Andy Tate. Lads, 50 episodes.
Yeah, where's it gone? 50 not out, eh?
I'm honoured. I expected
between first port of call when we knew it was 50, we ran Karthik, so we need you on. Special edition, can you make it? And he's managed to fit us in between the 12 other podcasts he does each week. Start calling you Stevie. I'll send you that busy. Every time I go on every time I go on my timeline, you're on it on a video on a different channel.
I already get that wannabe Stephen Allison vibe.
Wannabe Stephen Allison, yeah, there's an insult I've never heard one. Here's a question for you. At the time recording, it's 3 days after the derby. Is it still too late to carry on bragging about it?
Scott McTominay. No, it's not.
Which is your preferred chant, right? That one. Du, Scott McTominay or McTominay. The first one.
First one.
I like the second one.
You like the Elton John one?
Yeah.
I prefer the Elton John one, I'm sorry. So you're wrong, Karthik. You've ruined it. Get out. yeah, so derby day was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, just a quick one.
Don't have to be quick.
Celine Dion, Titanic song, it goes with any goal.
Does it though?
It went with a Scott McTominay goal. It was brilliant. Brilliant. Just like Steven Gerrard's slip in 2014.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of done with it, you know. Not the goal. The Titanic thing. No, do you reckon?
No, you can play that. That song can work for anything.
All right, guys, get involved in the comments. Titanic music. Get involved in two questions here. The Scott McTominay chant, which one do you prefer? And also the Titanic music to seminal goals.
Yeah.
Twice I said that word now. Goals.
Drama in football matches.
My toilet paper was seminal today. Is it still sort of funny to have that? Because I've seen it with Sterling's disallowed goal. I've seen it with Gerrard's slip. I saw it with Smalling's goal in the derby a few years ago was when the first time I saw it.
The
3-2 at the Etihad. Yeah. So get involved in the comments and let us know whether you still think it's all right. You had a decent day, didn't you, on Sunday?
It was a very long day. I was up for nearly 30 hours. I did my night shift where I work. I got on a coach.
It was a long day if it lasted 30 hours. Yeah.
More than a day.
I got on a coach, went to Liverpool Comic-Con.
Why was it all right? I'll let you off.
Liverpool Comic-Con. It was bad enough getting recognised by all Scousers. You Andy Tate? And everyone's dressed as comic book heroes, you know what I mean? But it was buzzing.
What did you go dressed as?
Did you go dressed as Andy?
Yourself.
I went as
Did you do
Venus.
What I told you to do? Take a wallpaper paste table, just stand behind it and just charge.
Probably would have got
pictures.
A few
quid there.
Yeah, 50 quid ahead. It cost me 50 quid to make my hero, Peter Cullen.
Oh, mate. I'm
AK
jealous.
Optimus Prime. And it was absolutely pandemonium. And I got him to sign some vintage stuff of mine. My original Transformer trailer when I was 10 years old. That is now on display, sealed in my display cabinet with all my G1 Transformers.
Love that.
Megatron was there as well, Frank Weller. Megatron was also the voice of Scooby-Doo.
Right.
And he played Fred as well.
I didn't know that.
Shaggy. Well, how old are you? You're a puppy.
I like the way he kept it into a dog theme.
You know what I mean? Peter Cullen's 78 and Frank Weller's 73. So
this is your last opportunity because I know they don't tour very often.
This is a generation moment for me because I'm 80s. Kid like you,
yeah. I was a big Transformers fan. I shed a tear when Optimus Prime died.
I did when I was 13. Anyway, back to football.
Turned into not, Transformers. Podcast,
Katie, producer Katie just said as a spoiler. It was 34 years ago. If people don't know by now, it's
34 years ago.
Yeah, it was 86 when Optimus Prime died.
Yeah. August the 8th, 1986. God rest Optimus Prime.
May he rest in peace.
How old were you two then?
I was 6.
I was 13.
Jeez.
See. How old are you then?
Still my dad's balls. Hey. I wasn't even thought of yet.
Thank you, Hasbro.
So you had that, and then you went to Old Trafford and witnessed that pile of shit.
No, I witnessed a match that was full of commitment, work rate, hard work, passion. The crowd was up for it, and all the players were like, yeah, let's do this. And I think they learned from that League Cup game. Mm. The first 25 minutes, I mean, like you say, City were all dominant with the possession-wise and all that.
You expect that.
Especially when you 1-0 up. Yeah, but, so, you know what?
I know. Bruno Fernandes as well.
What a man.
The guy's class, but 2 minutes before the goal, Martial could have squared it to Bruno, and he didn't. Yeah. And I was fuming. There was quite a few people fuming where I was sat with my nephew. But then 2 minutes later, like you say, City fans moaning, was it a free kick? Was it a free kick? Yeah, whatever. So we got the goal.
Oh, is that an old message? Sorry, I've just got a message from you. Is that old? Yeah. Oh, right, okay. You're not just saying it now? Right, sorry, I've just got a message. You're not recording, are you? I was like, what? We're not. We better start again.
What are we doing right now?
No, it's because I was downstairs and you said obviously come up. So I was like,
sorry. Producer Katie just causing absolute havoc here, sending me messages as Andy Tate's mid-sentence there.
Why are you interrupting Andy Tate?
It went off and I thought it might be an emergency. Sorry, Andy, go on.
Fantastic. City,
City fans moaning it was a free kick. It was a foul. Like you say, Bruno, quick thinking. Martial.
Martial!
And 1-0 Man United. But the rest of the game was like, it was very defensive, and City were on the front foot all the time. But and that last goal, it was fantastic. The play, I've never seen Old Trafford bounce like it did.
That was mad.
I wasn't even there for the last goal. Because of that. I'm always there because we always do. I always meet up with you guys after the match. So I usually stay at Old Trafford an hour after the game's finished. But because we were doing a phone in, and Scotty, belated birthday boy. Couldn't make it. I had to go. I left on like the 90th minute because I had to get to town for the filming and that, the recording that, just so I'd be on it with Joe McGrath. And obviously, with hindsight, I should let him fucking do it on his own. Because I was running at McCann, he had the chair, and I thought it was the final whistle. And then my phone started going up with Scott McTominay and McSauce. Fucking hell, he scores. I was like screaming, running down the road like fucking a lunatic. Ran to McCann, got my radio on, I was just fucking buzzing. Is this it now or what? Is it just time to just get fully behind the manager, at least the end of the season? Stop the petty squabbling. He's not going anywhere before May anyway. So is it not time we just united?
Yeah, because it is. Cause
I know we have.
Yeah, we have, but there's, we all, always there's have.
Other time to do that when he got hired.
Yeah, well said.
I know there's other people, there's other YouTubers who bitch and moan. Some are good, I'll give them that, and some of them are constantly pushing this. Get a life, just get behind the team and push to the end of the season. You have the potential to do well. And then if we do well, we push on from there and we'll take stock in the summer. Just get behind him and stop questioning all this negativity. All right, I've never said that word. I've never said that about Solskjaer.
No, no, you haven't.
I've never done that. But people are still pushing it. They were pushing it even up till, was it the other week?
After the Everton game.
The thing is,
right, and I've always said this, I can only speak for myself, can't speak for anyone else on this channel. I think there comes a breaking point with every fan, yeah? Yours with Moyes was April, yeah? The famous one with you and Moyes was April, where you'd had enough. And I think the reason that went viral wasn't just because it was entertaining, it's because you touched the nerve with a lot of fans. Because I was the same. Listen, there's videos, well, not videos of me, because I wasn't daft enough to do it on camera. There's videos of us, certain people, chanting and singing, "We'll stand by David Moyes." Now, I've chanted that. I was like, yeah, we stand by him. I remember the Fergie quote, "Your job now is to stick with the manager." I remember the backlash from the plane that went over and people kicking off about it. Mm. There was a lot of support for David Moyes right up until, for me, it was Fulham at home, 2-2 draw, where I thought, this guy's fucking clueless and he's never going to get it. Do you know what I mean? And I watched us, I've been a lot of ways that season, I've done a lot of home games, watched absolute drastic football, turgid football in Europe especially, you know, and it was like, this guy ain't going to get it. And then we'd had enough, and I think you tapped into that when you did that fan cam that obviously blew up. But this is different, you know. Ollie, we've had a lot of success under Ollie as a caretaker. We've had some success as a permanent manager, but he's nowhere near the levels that we saw under David Moyes, who inherited a title-winning team and just fucking destroyed it basically with his just ineptitude. So I think there's a difference there. People quick to go, "Well, you guys remember Moyes' case?" It's different. Kafik, what do you think the main difference has been? Has it just been Bruno for these last sort of few games especially? I know we've had a 10-game unbeaten run, but last few games, Chelsea, Watford, maybe not so much Everton, We do seem to have just stepped up a little bit.
Well, the 10-game unbeaten run has come since Bruno's come in.
Yeah.
So I think he is a big part of it, and I think that was what we were saying a lot of that we were missing. It was a creative midfielder who can make things happen, and we were stuck with Lingard, we were stuck with Andres Pereira, and they just weren't the type of player that you want. And I think the fact that he's played every game, I think, in the league since he's come in, it tells you that he's the first choice. And it gives you an idea of what we can do with more players around him. Because at the minute, when we're bringing players on and we're keeping Bruno on, he's playing alongside a Lingard. He's playing alongside players that aren't going to make those runs that he wants or get into the position that he wants players to be in. So it can't be done straight away, but it makes you think, what if we get players like a Sancho or a Grealish, or when Rashford comes back in? What could it be? What could it look like? And it's just exciting for me.
You talk about getting players in. One player that's been in the news this morning, at the time of recording it as usual, is Paul Pogba. There's talk that he's actually willing to extend the deal. Before you jump in, Andy, let me finish. Right? There's talk that Paul Pogba now wants to extend his deal and sign Manchester United, and he's willing to commit to a long-term deal at the club, possibly more or less for much of the rest of his career. I don't know how true these stories are. I think it emanated from the Daily Mail, so we'll take it with a pinch of salt. But let's just play the hypotheticals. Would you want to see Paul Pogba stay, Andy? Would you want to see him link up with Bruno and form a partnership there in midfield?
I cannot comment or deny. I am sick of the circus. I am sick of it. I am sick to the back teeth. It's been a non-stop circus from the start to finish. Fair enough, we've messed him about in the last couple of years. He has messed us about. And now he's on the brink of returning. I'm just not interested.
No.
If he plays, that's fair enough. But I won't cheer for him. I won't boo him. That's it. I am sick to the back teeth of the circus. Now, people know, yeah, I've had a go at him a couple of times due to leg injury this season. But I'm just sick of the circus now. It's all about him. It's always him. And Raiola the other month as well, fueling the fray, fueling it all up. And basically, I think he was told to shut up as well, just like tone it down. But he, like I said, this is what
you talk about a circus.
This is like Solskjaer, I think the fan base is split on Pogba.
You talk about a circus with Pogba. Now, his brother, I think, was only 2 days ago, I think, was saying he wants to go to Madrid.
It was, yeah.
Do you think part of the problem isn't him? I know Paul Pogba in the summer said, I want a new challenge. But do you think part of the problem is when you've got his brother, when you've got his agent coming out with things, do you think that's the issue, or do you think it's him? Do you think he's responsible for some of these comments? Do you think he's having a word and saying, yeah, our kid? Go on. I fancy a chip.
I think he's got to take a little.
Or do you think they're
bit
just going and doing it off their own back?
He's got to take a little bit of responsibility, because I mean, if it was my brother, I don't have a brother, but if I had a brother and he was saying, "Oh, Carthy wants to leave his job," but what are you doing? I don't want to leave.
If I did, I'd go.
You do that in any other job, you're not committed to your work, and your brother's like, "Oh, he's leaving. Don't worry about it. You're going to get called in by the management. What's going on?
Would you?
Only in a football world can you get away with that.
There is that. Would you not, like, there's part of me that just thinks, though, and I get it, I'm with you, that the circus does mad, and I've said it a million times myself, and I've used that exact word, but there is a part of me that does relish the idea of seeing Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes together.
I don't dispute it. He's one of the,
do you know what I mean?
The best
I'll be honest,
we've got. I
think them
it.
Two will complement each other, because I'm sick of this idea, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, of these fucking two holding midfielders. We have to have two holding midfielders.
We don't.
So right? We can have those two midfield with one behind them, and it'll work.
So if he stays, we're not going to go and get Grealish or Maddison in the summer.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question.
So, and Jesse Lingard's going out the door as well. You know what I mean? Fred has come on a treat now in the last few months.
How good's Fred?
I love Fred. And he made a few mistakes. He should have had a penalty Sunday as well. But this is where now there's some questions for next season have to be asked. Do we sell him? Refund the team with it? Get them players in? Because I'm sure if Pogba goes, if you sell him, you could get...
Do you think,
you could get mad at
call me a cynic here, right? Pogba comes out in the summer, says, I want a new challenge. Okay, we've bought Bruno, so he might have looked at that and thought, now I've got a player that I can play alongside who's mint. But I don't know. I just wonder whether there's not the sort of interest in Paul Pogba that his agent or the club want. Like, I wonder whether there isn't that £120 million bid.
Yeah.
And his agent, who's in touch with a lot of clubs, knows that Real Madrid ain't really going to pony up that sort of cash. Juve ain't. And they're the only two, really. Maybe PSG, but is he going to go to France at this stage in his career? And maybe his agent's had a word and say, listen, you know what? I was getting it in January, no one was going to buy. I'm getting it again this summer, that if we look at the clubs around Europe, no one's willing to make you their marquee signing, which is what he'd obviously be. So there probably isn't going to be that offer that we want.
Yeah.
So maybe signing a new mega deal at Manchester United financially is better for you. And now that they're willing to spend on players, football-wise, is best for you, because that deal's not going to come in.
Yeah,
I wonder whether that's the case, because people just say, oh, any club would have Paul Pogba, and they would, but would they pay for him? Would they? Because I don't know. Real Madrid spent 100 million on Eden Hazard. Has that really worked out?
No.
Barcelona have never really been... When they came in for Paul Pogba a few years ago, they offered Yerry Mina and 40 million quid, which is just like me going into, I don't know, the Ferrari dealership and offering to swap me Focus for it. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, what are you talking about? Not happening. So there wasn't really solid, proper a deal where all this looks like it's going to happen. So I just wonder whether Raul has said to him, or he's actually realised, we're not going
to
get the Philippe
Coutinho
deal.
Yeah.
Because for me, if you sell Paul Pogba, you should be getting 120, 130 million. And I don't know if that's happening.
I said that this morning. I said, I don't
on
know
one of
how...
your many podcasts.
On my Twitter, actually. Plug.
What's your Twitter? Go on, plug it.
It's at Mr. Kartsham. I'm sure it'll be in the description.
It will be in the description, right? Yeah. If you've got a constant stream of videos of Carfic, just get out of there.
Yeah, so I said this morning that I don't know how true the reports are. It could just be a case of, from the club side and from Raiola's side, Pogba side, to see what the interest is like. Like, oh, he's going to sign a new deal now. Maybe we should try and get him before that. Or if it's a case of he's realised that no one really wants him. Because for a while now, for about 3 or 4 months, we've all been saying, I think Pogba's going to go, I think. But we've all, when asked where, we were all like, I don't actually know.
That's the thing, because there's not, because of how expensive he would be, there isn't that many clubs who can afford that sort of money. If you look at clubs and their spending, there's only one or two clubs that would ever spend upward of 100 million on a player, which is what United are asking. Or we presume United are asking. Yeah. So then you think, well, would United take a cut price deal, just get rid of him?
On a few swappies.
Yeah, maybe. Like, maybe then.
Juventus are offering Aaron Ramsey.
That's up there with offering in Yerry Mina.
You know what? I would have took Ramsey on a free transfer the other season. Got him that way.
All right, do you know what?
You know what I mean?
The trouble with free transfers, right, is we have this thing, and I've been guilty of it, so before people start digging out old clips and going, you can't hypocrite, where someone's offered to you on a free, someone like, I don't know, Emre Can, and you think, is he better than Pereira? Yeah, he probably is. And he's free. Well, that's all right then. But the thing is, that stops you getting the player you should go out and get, because you've got him in instead. Do you know what I mean?
So I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, so if you get, say, you get Aaron Ramsey on a free, say, then you don't go out and buy James Maddison or whatever the next season. That's my only worry, is when you start doing that, it stops you going out all out for the players you should be getting. I get where you're coming from, though. Maybe it is a swap deal. Is the best way. I don't know. It just wouldn't surprise me if there isn't the interest at the level that Raiola, United, and even Paul Pogba himself expected. So we'll have to wait and see. Another hot topic is the coronavirus. United playing LASK wins on Thursday night behind closed doors. Now listen, we know it's been, you know, quite funny commenting and joking about the Scousers having to wait for their title that they're obviously going to win, or even the season getting postponed, but it is a serious issue because people are unfortunately dying. How do you see it, being honest, without just going, oh, stop the Scousers? What do you think is going to happen with this, Andy? Do you think we could see the league getting suspended here, or just closed doors games over here?
They've got closed doors in Italy.
Yeah.
I know, Juventus beat Inter 2-0 the other week.
They've suspended it now, haven't they?
They're suspended to the
hour. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, and this is
the
thing.
This is the thing.
I know Spain suspended Valencia last night.
We're sort of, if you look at the actions and a lot of what's going on, we're almost 2 weeks behind them in terms of.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if in 2 weeks' time they suspended games. Do you think that could work? Do you think that's the best? Don't matter whether it works or not. Do you think that's the best option?
If you suspend the season, there's legal complications for promotion, relegation, Champions League.
Hmm.
Who's going to get relegated? Who's going to get Champions League? Like I say, Championship, suspended Championship, playoffs as well. I've even heard Euro 2020 people asking to be put back for till next year.
I think for me personally, if you suspended Euro 2020 till 21,
that's going to be a nightmare for players' fitness.
It's going to be a nightmare. It's not a great solution, but it is a solution.
Plus the World Cup.
I think what you could do then is push this season back, so you could suspend it for 2 months or whatever, or a month, and then have it in June.
Playing to June.
Yeah.
But your pre-season's up the wall for the following season.
Oh, mate, either way, there's ramifications here. It's a domino effect, and there's no happy answer to all this.
If you're a football player, you probably get 2 weeks off and you're back in training.
Yeah, it's not great.
On that June thing, I think that's why they've asked for Euro 2020 to be pushed to next year, because I think Serie A and I think it might have been La Liga were asking for an extra month or two to play their games that they've postponed.
Ah, right.
So that might be the case.
So maybe we could do that over here. I don't know. Someone, yeah. I mean, I've seen all sorts of suggestions, people suggesting cancel next season or and just run it into the summer and just don't have a, I don't know how that works. Cancelling Euros, postponing the Euros, the Olympics. I know it's not football, but the Olympics as well is up in the air because that's in Tokyo, and a lot of this emanated in the Far East. So there's issues around there. It just seems like a bit of a mess, doesn't it?
It's scary. It is scary.
You're right. It's not, you know.
Yeah, it's very scary. But I think the media is also fueling this as well.
Are they not right to fuel it though? I get your argument here, but part of me says, you know, I'm a journalist.
This is like out of a movie.
Have you not got a duty to report this and say, like, listen, people are dying and you need to?
If you've seen the film Outbreak.
With Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. Dustin Hoffman. Yeah, it's borderline. Yeah. This is like cinema, like Walking Dead types. You know, I'm not saying zombies, but you know,
right, okay.
You know what I mean? But this is like at some
Contagion. Hollywood. Have you seen Contagion?
No, I'm not saying that.
Contagion's a similar thing. It's on a much sort of more drastic scale where there's a deadly virus. And it shows like the government, how they act and things like that. Yeah, I mean, you got to keep people safe, haven't you? I mean, some of the things they've said in the past as well didn't make much. You know, players aren't going to shake hands and players are hugging and kissing. Well, how that works.
You're doing fist bumps now. Yeah. I met Optimus Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime, on Sunday. No one was allowed to shake his hand. You had to give him the fist bump. Everybody was doing that. No handshakes whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
Just doesn't make sense, that, to me.
But I don't know. If me and you did a fist bump, right, I'm sorry, we'll do it, we're okay.
No, but he is.
Is that any better than me and him shaking hands?
This virus posts to affects the young and the older. The older people, people over 70.
Well, it's
I mean, I've got family.
You fed him that one.
I've got family, you know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing, right? And I don't want to get bogged down in coronavirus. We're not the experts on coronavirus. If you want sort of advice on that, you don't go to full-time levels.
1-1-1.
Yeah. But it seems that, like, the reason we're washing our hands and keeping ourselves clean is that we don't give it the elderly. It's not so much as us catching it where we could sort of, after a couple of weeks, we'll be all right. It's if the elderly get it could be fatal. It has obviously got, I think Marcus Rashford tweeted that, you know, something about everyone needs to stay safe, and that's the most sort of the priority. Not just, it's saying here, Roma denied entry into Spain. Wow, as we're recording. Mm. So obviously, yeah, there's all sorts going on, and Arsenal City game's been postponed. It'll be interesting to see what's decided at the moment. I think the league games this weekend
are
going.
I've seen the panic buying with the toilet rolls. I mean, I was in Aldi yesterday. It was like, gee.
There's a scoop. Andy Tate goes to Aldi.
REM, end of the world as we know it. But everyone's, I feel
fine. I was in Asda.
It's unreal.
And it was the same. Yeah, pasta and beans. I think like people are actually
stocking up.
Yeah, stocking up. Like
my corner shop will still be open when it's the end of the world. I'll just go across the road and get my stuff there because he's full.
You know, you always run a local shop, can't you?
Yeah, that was a corner shop somewhere, you know what I mean?
Interestingly enough, we've got Spurs this weekend if everything goes ahead. Mm. Now, there's so many sides to this, the obvious one being Jose Mourinho. We've played him before, but since he's one of his first games was a Spurs manager, one of his early games was against us at Old Trafford and Ollie won. Spurs have just been battered by
Leipzig.
Yeah. Was it 3-0? 3-0,
yeah.
So they're not in a good form. What made me laugh at that is Jose is having his third season and he's first, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's fast-forwarded it. So he's falling out of everyone. He's coming out with mad statements. He's saying, like, he said to me the other day, you got to choose Burnley or Leipzig. Yeah. You can't choose both.
Which one did he prioritise?
Yeah, and he didn't win any.
Has he had a go at Dembele?
Out of those three games, he didn't win any,
didn't he? Has he had a go at Dembele as well?
On Dembele, yeah. Sorry. Right.
He likes to have a go at him, doesn't
he? I was on a podcast. I'm like, I think I do about 12 a week. I was on a podcast with Dayton, was with a journalist, and he was sort of saying, the thing with Dembele is, I think he had a stinker a few weeks ago where the fans really got at him, and Jose backed him, and then he had another pretty average game or poor game, and that's why he thinks Jose was a bit annoyed because he felt like, I've backed you and you're still not.
Right.
So I think, but it doesn't look good because everyone sort of jumps on it as Jose throwing another player under the bus.
I don't like this whole injury thing that they're going on about. Like, we had an injury crisis.
Yeah, but
look where we are now.
They are missing Harry Kane. That's a hell of a...
We're missing Marcus Rashford.
I'm sorry, right? I get you. Yeah, you're missing Harry Kane, you're missing Son. Massive players. But if you look at Spurs' bench a lot of the time, they've got the likes of Winks, they've got Moura, they've got...
Dele Alli.
They've got... Well, yeah, not on the bench, but yeah, they've got options, though. And it's not great. Thank you. It's not great, but they've got options. So, I don't know, yes, the injuries aren't out, but it makes me laugh because Jose's come out and said, you know, injuries are the reason, and then Dele Alli say this completely contradictory statement, saying we can't blame injuries. So, my only worry, getting back to United, obviously, is that throughout all this chaos that Spurs seem to be in, it just wouldn't surprise me if they got a result.
Mourinho, isn't it?
Yeah. He could, it seems to be lining up to Mourinho.
He could,
it around slightly by could, getting a result.
He could pull a tactical, old-school masterclass.
Has he still got it in him?
No.
No.
But
it's Mourinho,
he could do something to get a result Sunday.
Yeah. Are you confident going into this game?
Yeah. It's okay to be confident.
Which means
we'll
lose.
No. I mean, we're only 3 points off the top. I mean, I still think...
Off the top four, basically.
title charge.
And we made up 30-odd points.
Next year.
I know that was
a
big derby win, but I don't think we got 30 points for it.
I tell you what, if we're 3 points off the top this time next year, you can hold me on that quote. But anyway, Sunday, we can say, I still think Leicester are catchable as well.
Let's get to fourth first,
I don't, yeah. I don't know. I felt the Villa game for Leicester was the big one. I felt if they lost that, yes, I'd agree with you. Because they're in a horrible run, but I think that was a massive.
If you see that run into Leicester, Leicester's got to play Arsenal and Tottenham, so that's a potential plus us on the last day of the season. You could have a third, fourth shootout.
I'm not
fifth.
Listen. If you offered me fourth right now, I'd take it. Never mind. I'm not.
Thing is, with third and fourth, third is automatic. Fourth is a playoff.
Do you know what though?
It's not anymore though, is it? I swear they changed that.
No, is it early qualifications? Is that what you mean?
It's a two-legged playoff.
Is it still that?
To get into the group stage.
Wow, what did you change it to?
I thought they made it automatic, because I swear.
Could have done that, I don't know. Could have done. Please prove me wrong.
I mean, they might even do that anyway because of the coronavirus. They might just say we're not going to have these.
Who finished fourth last season? Chelsea?
No, Chelsea finished third. It was. Was it Arsenal? No.
I can't remember, but whoever it was, they didn't play a qualifier.
Right, well, there you go then. Who finished fourth last season? Right.
It was Chelsea.
I swear it was Chelsea.
I thought Chelsea finished third.
Oh, it's Tottenham.
Yeah, they didn't play a qualifier this year.
Yeah, Tottenham finished fourth.
Oh, was it?
You're probably right then. Yeah, Tottenham finished fourth.
He's fact checking.
Right, I'm just doing a bit of fact checking here.
Tottenham finished fourth last season. We Arsenal finished
fifth.
Yeah, and
they didn't play a qualifier, so it's changed.
Okay, fair enough.
There you go, then you see. So we might have a qualifier. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back after these messages. So do I need to ask you the question? Give you a clue. Sheffield United's number one. Should it be Manchester United's number one next season?
Oh, boy.
We did this on Full Time Devils. There's a video out there. Maka spoke to everyone after the City game and asked them. It's the only time I've ever seen Stephen Alisson sit on the fence on any subject ever. He didn't know, he said. Who would you like to see start for Manchester United Football Club as their goalkeeper or as our goalkeeper next season?
David De Gea, because right now, he's poor. But his best will be better than Dean Henderson's best right now. If you look at them as a player right now, what Dean Henderson's best form will be at this moment in time is good, but I think if De Gea was to hit his best form right now, it would be so much better.
Ah, okay.
So I don't think Dean's quite ready to get... I think I'd have him as a backup.
Yeah. Can you seriously have England's number one goalkeeper as backup, or does he need to go out on loan again?
We've got Romero, haven't we? So...
I think
that's
if you don't start...
That's another case as well. Mm. We've got three top quality goalkeepers.
Why do you think Romero's in with a shout?
Why not?
I love Sergio Romero.
I know. Why not? I mean, if you look at it, consistency, like, we've had the Gea constant and constant. Mm. You change it, you could have Dean Henderson goes in. I mean, touch wood, you could have a great goalkeeper, or he could like, oh, bloody hell, I mean, I'm number one now.
Yeah.
He could start making mistakes. We have this consistently having a number one goalkeeper. All right, he has one or two mistakes, but he's pulling save. He has saved our bacon so many times.
But are we getting like nostalgic here, though? Yeah, I agree. I'm slightly playing devil's advocate. But yes, he has saved our bacon so many times. But I think the last 12 months, probably post Spurs.
Yes.
Away at Wembley.
It cost
us. He hasn't been great.
Yeah, we lost out on Champions League football because of some of the mistakes. He made the right one against Chelsea.
Where he pushed it out, yeah.
He pushed it out and that cost us, but you learn from your mistakes. You telling me Alisson is not going to have a mistake in him, you know what I mean? He's next season. I remember the start of the season, he made a mistake against Leicester City, similar to David De Gea. You know, so I mean, so don't tell me.
Look at Edison. Edison was flavour of the month last season, wasn't it?
Yeah,
everyone
look
loved
at him now.
And then, you know, now he's dishing out goals to United. His life depends on it.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's about consistency. So, goalkeepers can have good days,
bad
days.
Is this more than just a bad patch, though, for De Gea? It feels a little bit more than that, if I'm being honest, because I was sort of looking at this after the Everton game, and, you know, he made a mistake at Everton. He made a mistake this season at Watford. Go back last season at Barcelona, one went under him. Chelsea, he made a mistake. I feel like Arsenal made a mistake.
The
Xhaka goal was an easy save. The Derby made a mistake. Mm. It feels like you used to be able to say about David De Gea, there's his mistakes for the last 5 years on one hand. And yet over the last 12 months, he's probably made about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Which worries me a little bit because I think, is it more than that? Is it something not... Is he in decline? Is he not happy? Or am I just being sort of melodramatic, and is it just a little bit of a rough patch?
I think Real Madrid want him.
We've
mean,
amplified it because of who he is.
If you sold him plus Pogba, no, I'm just saying, yeah, with the value of what they're worth, 70 million, 150 million, there's your transfer kit, you reinforced everything for next season. I mean,
you're right in many ways, because ideally, this club should be able to go out and spend 200 million this summer without selling anyone. We should.
I mean, if they sold De Gea.
If we have aspirations of getting not just into the top four, but challenging for a title, we should be able to go out and spend 200 million quid. But I don't trust our owners to do that unless we sell big time. And I think the only two massive assets we've got are those two you've mentioned that would bring in that.
You sell them to, that's another reset. Then you're going to bring more younger players in again, and that's a hell of a pressure for next season.
I think there is a case that you could bring, if De Gea did move on, I'm not saying I want that to happen, but if he did, you could have Romero and Henderson almost rotating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's good, because knowing the Glazers, we'll take the 70 million, bank it for ourselves, because we all know that's what they like doing. You know what I mean? They won't spend that.
No.
We've sold Pogba, we'll spend all that 150 million, but...
Well, they give themselves that dividend, don't they, every quarter? They all get 18 million quid, no matter what the situation is.
There's always a black hole, that money goes down, and we'll never know till...
I think it's going to be interesting with the goalkeepers, because we've got 7 now with Lee Grant signing on, plus the Joel Pereira coming back, the young kid that we signed in January. So we've got 7 keepers, including Mate Kolvar in the academy. So I think definitely 2 are going to be out of the club. 1 possibly permanent, 1 on loan. It just depends which one it is. So I think I could see Dean Henderson going out on loan again.
If they sold him.
But if he wasn't guaranteed that he'd be involved the season after, I think he might just go, you know what?
You think we've got one more season of him accepting a loan deal?
Yeah.
And then you've got to make your break decision. Sorry.
If that decision came and he was sold on, I would put a clause back in. First refusal. Just keeping all your doors open.
It's a nice problem to have. The fact that we have got a world-class, potentially world-class keeper waiting in the wings.
And 2 class ones behind him as well.
It is, so we'll see how it pans out. Personally, I probably would like to see Dean Henderson given a chance next season. I know I'll get pellets for that, but I would. I just think, I don't know, with Dave, he just doesn't seem right anymore to me. And I hope I'm wrong, and you know, he's having a better spell recently in the last few weeks than he's had. I know he made a mistake at Everton, but other than that, than he's had.
Well, he saved on Sunday from folding
as
well.
That's what I mean. But even that, Andy, like, it's 25 yards out and it's down the barrel. If that goes in, it's a mistake. That's the only way that's going in. Yes, he's tipped it over and it looks great, but it's literally above his head. How is that going in unless he moves out of the way of it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it looks good, but it's a save he has to make. Do you know what I mean? If that went in, you'd have been fuming with me.
Yeah, you'd be like,
do you know what I mean? Because it was straight, like, just above his head. So, okay, yeah, you know, he had a good game on Sunday because he kept a clean sheet. You can't fault him for that. But he still doesn't command his area. His distribution is still all over the gaff. He still, to me, makes his defence look nervy. there's no communication between him and Lindelof and him and Maguire.
That's a
he invites pressure.
To be fair, Lindelof will make anybody nervous, even De Gea. It works both ways. They're both nervous.
Right. Well, I'm not. I mean, I think. Yeah, you know, get
I mean, on Sunday I saw Lindelof, and I think what was it? Wan-Bissaka literally argue with one another because they made a mistake in the first half, and you could see what's going on. He's like, clear your head, what are you doing?
Wan-Bissaka
was right near the corner flag near me.
I swear, it's like watching him against Sterling. It's like watching dads playing kids. You know, you like you let your lad have the ball and then take it off him.
He was drug tested after the game.
Was there? I bet he was. Twice.
Sterling's probably got, oh, check him.
Yeah, check him again. That's, yeah, because it's just like, he just seems, and he does it in a way that, you know, when I see defenders lunging in, I don't like it. Usually when you're lunging in, it's not because you know, if it was Rio, how many times Rio lunged in? He didn't.
No.
Because he read the game so well, he was so quick. Most of his tackles were just close up to you, and he'd take it off you.
Bit like Vidic.
Yeah, Vidic was slightly more, but like, slightly more lunging, but.
Occasionally
yeah,
would get a red card or a yellow.
But Rio very rarely lunged in. Same with Yapstam, and that was because he was so good. So sometimes when you're lunging in, it's like the player's got away from you a little bit. Mm. But remember, Saka, it's almost like he lets him.
Yeah, because he's confident.
Yeah, it's almost like he goes, you know, he like stands off him a little bit. Go on then, and then does that. And then wins the second ball. That's what I love about him.
He
makes the tackle and wins
Sterling,
the second ball.
I seen him actually the day on Sunday. He was inviting him. He was reading where he was going to go. You go there, I'll be there. You go there, I'll be there. So he might mark him out of the game. I mean, like you say, next time it'll be an interesting clash when
he seems to have the better of him.
Jamie Carragher called him the best one-on-one defender in the world, didn't he?
Well, you can't argue that. Can't argue with Jamie Carragher. He's never wrong. Odi Ighalo's all right, isn't
he? Yeah. What would he command if we got him permanent?
He wouldn't command anything. He'd just command a shirt and a place in the dressing room.
I'm talking about transfer fee.
Oh, you want to sell him?
No, what?
Oh, you mean to buy him permanently?
Yeah, what, buy him?
Oh, it'd be about, I don't know.
20 million?
Who?
Hey. Ighalo, if we were to buy him permanently.
Ighalo, at least 80, 90 million. You don't get players like that for less than 75 million. Come on, let's be honest here.
In my opinion, I think he's good.
I love Ighalo, right? I'm praying. I'm praying he doesn't get
injured.
Found out. Like, I'm praying, I don't know, because I think used as in cameos in the Premier League and in the Cup games, yeah, I just worried it if he was to say, if anything happened to Marcel and you start Ighalo week in, week out,
mate,
he struggle.
Goals? Did you not see how he brought that ball down against City?
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong.
As soon as he
came
on, he changed
concern,
the game.
That's my only worry. Do you know what I mean? Because I can't.
There's a bit of a Lukaku type thing about him. He can hold
wash
the ball
your
up.
Mouth out with soap and
need
water.
To get an Nigeria,
no, he can hold the ball up.
Maka's probably took him off. Yeah. He had one.
He can hold the ball up and people can feed off it. That's a bit of his.
I mean, he's ace and he's loving it and I'm loving him. I don't know if you can consistently rely on him. I don't want to be negative.
Well,
you
could
ace.
Have him part of the squad then.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have him.
Yeah.
We've got Rashford next season. Yeah. Maybe Sanchez. I don't know.
No, not Sanchez.
It's mad, isn't it, right? Because talent-wise, Sanchez is a far better player, but no one in the world would probably, no United fan I know, would ever have Sanchez over Ighalo.
No.
No. Sanchez.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's not
if
even close.
I mean, are we going to sell Sanchez this summer? Or...
Well, would anyone have him? Because he's
are
injured
you
again,
him,
aren't
you?
Or...
Give him till Christmas, then move him on permanent.
Till Christmas? Who's Sanchez?
Give him one more chance to be part of the squad. You got till Christmas.
Mate,
he's not done anything in
him.
No, he's not done
chance.
Anything. I know he's not
he's
done
anything. He's our worst signing ever. No, I don't. Right, hear me
it's
out.
A bit
I
mean,
there's a few
whoa,
shouts there.
David Belly on me.
No.
There's
I don't.
A few
no,
this
you
is
know what I mean.
Hang on a minute.
Cleberson.
Right. All those players you mentioned. Right. I'm not saying he's the worst player we've ever signed. He's our worst signing ever. And I'll tell you why. Did David Bellion break the wage structure at Manchester United? No. Did David Bellion come in and everyone said, well, he's going to win us a title. He's going to make us catch City.
Some
no. Yeah, unless they're up in sniff. But
Veron.
No. Wham. Sebastian Veron had a lot of good games for Manchester United, just not enough.
He did 3 good months and he went quiet for that two years.
Good in Europe.
Yes, good in Europe. But yeah. I remember, was it against Middlesbrough? His back pass. Oh, I was finished with him on that. Middlesbrough scored.
Remember 5-3 at White Hart Lane?
Oh, he was brilliant. This is after.
But when, all right then.
He was
on
fire
when,
that
when
season.
Was Sanchez brilliant for Manchester United?
Never.
He got man of the match
one
in Yeovil.
Yeah, two
never.
Games, Yeovil and City.
Never. It was never brilliant. I accept that. But
and right, you look at the expectation, right? when we signed Bellion and Cleberson, I didn't think, well, this is it, we're going to win a lot now, right? When Sanchez came in, and admit it,
I did, yeah.
Everyone, right? Yeah. Everyone was like, this is it now, we're on it, we've got the best player in the league.
That one, who's that one we signed from Portugal?
It was Bebe.
Ronaldo, he works out.
No,
was that Bruno Fernandes? Yeah, he's all right.
No, what, was it?
It was Pepe, Bebe, yeah.
He was almost, wasn't he? And he's
yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, it was almost.
We're not laughing at homeless people.
I'm not laughing at you or homeless people.
No.
It's when you hear you say it out loud,
sounds crappy. If you look at the story of his background, he was homeless.
He played in the Homeless World Cup.
Yeah, and he became a professional footballer.
Right. The trouble with Bebe is, other than the fact he wasn't very good at football, it was very weird. The fact is, he had ties to Carlos Queiroz. Carlos Queiroz apparently told Fergie that Real Madrid were interested in him.
Oh dear.
I know. So Fergie thought, right, it was. There's a lot of sort of conflicting stories about the price.
$7 million.
Well. Some say seven. I've heard 1.25. I've heard that it was like, it was said seven, but it actually was closer to one. But for whatever
1.25.
reason. I don't know. I've heard a lot of conflict.
Ashley Young price.
Yeah. So I don't know. But again, though, the thing with Bebe, no one had heard of him.
No.
So you can't say to me, there was expectation there. If Bebe scored a goal, it'd have been like, you know, wow, amazing. Sanchez, we expected him to get 20 a season.
Yeah, we did.
I accept that.
You know what I mean? So that's why I think he's our worst ever signing. Not our worst player. I could name you 100 players that United have signed that have been less talented than Alexis Sanchez. The point is, the expectation was there. He'd done it at Arsenal. He came into a side that was second at the time, albeit distant second, and he absolutely failed to deliver anything remotely like what he'd done at Arsenal. He just was shocking.
And we're still paying him.
Yeah. And he's still getting probably more wages than Marcus earns from us playing for us week in, week out, or Martial or whatever. So, yeah, that's why I say that. I don't, you know, think he's crap. I just think he's been crap for us. Round it up then. Wally of the Weeks. Karthik, I'll start with you.
I will go with the UK Health Minister for getting the coronavirus. What are you doing?
I tell you what, that's...
Your job is to show us the example.
Is that really? Is that her, is that Nadine Dorris? Is that her?
I don't know.
Oh, no, it's the other one, isn't it?
But how banter is that? We're tin pot as a country if our health minister's the one getting infected.
People who mass panicking with the buying of the toilet rolls and pasta.
We're going down the wrong, a shady route here.
I want a Tottenham ticket, but I've got a 24 pack of rolls if you want it. I'll do a straight swap.
Right, we're not swapping tickets.
Andrex for the ticket
so
for Sunday.
No one, yeah, that's between you and them. Full Time Devils does not endorse this.
Other beer brands are available.
Yeah. My Wally of the Week is going to be... I had one and I've forgotten it now. Who's it going to be?
Mourinho?
Right.
Edison? Pep?
Who's the guy who's just been let go of by the BBC? Is it Alan Parry? Or I was getting mixed up.
Not a clue.
Alan Parry?
Yeah, the commentator.
I don't have a clue who you're on about here.
It's an old person.
Yeah. I'm sure it's
Mike Parry.
No, it's not. It's Alan Parry, isn't it? But he's not the Wally of the Week. It's all the people losing their shit over him going, which is my... Yeah, it is Alan Parry. But I've seen loads of people like going mad about it and saying, oh, this is terrible. This isn't the age we're living in. He's a commentator, and he's a decent commentator, but he's had a few controversial things. Like, he was accused of racism once with Djemba Djemba, and he's just one of those where you think, there's another great signing we had. It's time for him to move on and all this. And, like, people are like, losing their minds about it. Like, oh, we're going down the wrong route. Fucking YouTube is taking over. Get a life.
YouTube FC.
Yeah, it's all about YouTube, mate.
Hey, another Wally of the Week, the producer of Doctor Who.
I'm going to say producer of this, then. I'm going to say producer Katie.
The producer of Doctor Who. Doctor Who's getting slayed. They've just wiped out 57 years of Doctor Who.
Wow, what do you mean?
I was reading online last night. The producer, he's just like wiped with the storyline. It's left on a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, that works, that.
Cliffhanger.
It's a new word. Andy Sage just invented it.
I was just reading reviews last night, and Doctor Who, the producer, he's getting slated left, right.
Right, I'm sorry, but I have an issue with some Doctor Who fans because they lost their mind over the fact that this time-travelling character was going to be played by a woman. Now, in that sentence, it's not the fact that she's a woman that's the odd thing. It's the fact that this is a character. It's a time-traveller. Do you know what I mean? It's not real. It's science fiction. So why would you lose your mind because it's played by a woman?
Yeah, and the doctor can regenerate his or her face every few years anyway, so like, what does it matter?
Yeah.
And he was like, I
did find out he only had 12 regenerations. He could only do it 12 times throughout the years. That with the current series, it's just finished this weekend, just gone. That was what
it's been years since.
With the story.
Why is the TARDIS a police box? You know that?
Because it's a sign for help.
No, it was damaged when it changed into a police box,
and it can't change.
It can't. Yeah, it works, and it can't change from that now. So it's stuck as a police box. That's why.
There's your factor. Of
there
the
you
thing.
Go.
Hell of a man cave, though, isn't it? You go inside.
Go in there, mate. It's like Mary Poppins' handbag. Right, on that note, that's enough nonsense for one show. Karthik, where can people find you when you do your next podcast after this one?
Recording one tomorrow, actually.
Of course you are.
Actually, I'm tomorrow night. On Friday, on my YouTube
channel. I
like the
one you do, you two mates. Front three. It's good. It's proper, like, it's old school. It's just three lads chatting, having a laugh. I do like it.
Yeah.
So do check Karthik out. I'll put a link in the description. Andy Tate, are you still ranting on Instagram?
Oh, yes, I'm still ranting.
You're doing impressions now, aren't you?
Yeah.
You branched out.
Yeah,
into comedy.
I did a sort of hand sanitizer deal or selling hand sanitizer last night. I sent it to you.
Let's have a look at this.
No, it's not on Instagram.
Oh, it's not on Instagram.
It's not on Instagram, no. It's a personal one.
It's a personal one, this. Yeah, it's
but
all for the group
catch,
chat.
You can catch me for not a bit of a laugh chat. On Instagram. And _MUFC_Tate. I've got 12,500. It's going on nice. About having fun, enjoying life, and a bit of football banter.
And absolutely amazing impressions that are just uncanny.
West Side.
Right, that's been Andy, that's been Karthik, I've been Jay. Don't forget to hit like, share and subscribe. You can find us on all the usual platforms. This podcast goes out on iTunes, it goes out on, I think it's on Acast now, not on Audio Boom. You'll find it anyway. We'll put links in the description, obviously on YouTube, so make sure you give us a like as well, and a comment, and a positive review as well, a 5-star review. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.